file has four sides on it where you can, I don't know all you can do with it, but you can somehow shape your nail and buff it and make it shorter. I don't know what all you can do with it, but it makes your nails look really good. So, and you all got some color of pink. So, you all got different shades of pink, but you all got a color of pink. So, hope you enjoyed that. Everyone, please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ruth chapter 1. I'm sure there's a lot of Mother's Day sermons being preached out of the book of Proverbs today. That is the go-to verse often in Mother's Day sermons. But I'm taking a unique approach to a Mother's Day sermon today from the book of Ruth. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Excuse me. Ruth chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the land, in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And there, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Then they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in thy womb, that there may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them, for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from falling after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. We thank you so much for our mothers who have gone on to be with you, and for those who are with us today. And we thank you for godly mothers, and we pray for more of them, Lord. Bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach you laid in my heart. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the sermon this morning is A Mother Like No Other. A Mother Like No Other. Now, the reason, again, we're getting away from our series this morning, the Acts of the First Church, is because today is Mother's Day. Now, we have set this day aside to honor our mothers, but this is a biblical thing to do, to honor our parents, because it harmonizes with the commandment found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. God's commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, when I was growing up in church, I would hear that particular commandment to honor your mother and your father. Why? That your days may be long. And I don't know if my parents ever actually said it, but there was at least one time when I heard a parent say, if you want to live long, you better respect me, because that's biblical. And I always thought, well, that's because they're going to kill them if they don't behave themselves, you know. That's how I always took it. But then I got a little older and I began to realize that if a child does not have a fear and respect of his or her parent or parents, they're not going to live long because they have no respect of authority. And when you don't have respect of authority, not only do you not care what police and others think of you, you don't care what God thinks of you. And so you're going to live your life in a way that you're going to die at a young age or not live very old at all, because you were not taught or you didn't respect and you didn't honor your mother and your father like you should have. Now, we will today look at a not-so-common Bible story that would teach us about mothers from the perspective of Ruth and Naomi. Now, the Bible story is common, but the perspective of it is not so common. My first point this morning is a strong mother. A strong mother, and we see that in verses 1 through 7. In 10 years' time, Naomi had lost her husband and both her sons. It is hard on anyone who loses a child. But this woman outlived her husband and all of her children. That is very hard. And I have known just a few women, and one in particular, that outlived all her children and her husband. And at her old age, she said, I just want to go home and be with Jesus. You know? I really couldn't blame her. But she had a peace from the Lord, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. All right? There are people in this world are mourning for their, especially mothers who are mourning for their children that have gone on to be with Jesus. Or has just simply passed away, and they're mourning. But if they would seek the peace of God, they would be comforted today. Now, Naomi here in this story, she may not have found comfort at this point, because there's a couple of times in the story, one in particular that we read, where she told her daughters-in-law that the hand of the Lord was against her. She hadn't quite found that comfort yet, but this was a strong woman, y'all. She was a very strong woman. Most women would have tried to commit suicide, went into such deep depression where they didn't care to live or die. But she was determined to keep on living and to survive. She wanted to go back to her own country, where her husband had brought her and her sons out of the country of Judah, Bethlehem specifically, and in the country of Moab. Now, not going through a long history lesson, but Moab was kind of an offspring early on back of Lot, all right? That was Abraham's nephew, and one of his sons came out, the Moabites. Now, they were told not to intermarry with them, but for some reason, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, didn't really care about that, because he brought his sons out of there and went into that land. Now, some would say that there was a famine going on in the land of Judah, but at this point, it's not important that we go into all the history. Just understand that Naomi's family moved out of the country where they were born and raised into a foreign land, and there, after they got there, her husband died. And then her two sons, they married Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. What a name, you know, Orpah. Every time I hear that, I think of a whale, which is an orca, really. But anyway, they married these women, and they didn't really believe in God. And apparently, the faith of Naomi's sons was not that strong because they married a woman that didn't believe in God. But now that her sons are gone, and her husband is gone, she wanted to go back to her own country because she's here, that the Lord is really blessing their homeland with great bread. And so, in order to survive, she would go back there. Why would she do that? Well, let's understand this. Contrary to our culture, women didn't often uproot where they were living and venture out on their own back then. I know it's common in our culture today. No matter if it's a son or a daughter, when it comes time to graduate high school, they send them off out in the world, whether it's to college or to the working force, and they go out and live on their own. Women did not do that. You did not do that. And not only was it not custom, there was no provisions for you to do such. Women could not own land. They could not own other possessions at all. You had very few rights. Your goal in life was to produce children, and especially male children. With no male heirs to look after her, this is Naomi, she would be dependent upon the sympathy of others, or she would die trying. Now, when she heard that there was an abundance of bread in the land, the Lord was blessing them with great crops, here's what would happen. Oftentimes, when they would have great harvests like this, it was customary to leave part of the field after it was harvested to the widows so they could have it. And so she hears this. She hears of an opportunity to survive, to live and not die. Not only was this going to be a hard journey on her, something that was out of the ordinary to do, but she had the desire to live. And so by doing, she is going to have to go and harvest that food for herself so that she could live. This was a strong woman. Again, some women wouldn't have even done this. They'd have just like, well, I'll just sit here and die. She wasn't. She's like, I'm not going to sit here and die. If I'm going to live, I've got to go back home and get that if I'm going to live. She had a strong will to survive, and she had faith. She knew that her life would be hard to survive at this point, but she had her Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 declares to us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She had never seen or heard God, but she knew He would take care of her. Even though she thought she was being punished from Him, she still had enough faith, she's still strong in the Lord enough to know that He was going to take care of her. That's a strong mother right there. We need more strong mothers in our world today, especially in our churches. Those who are going to have faith when every test comes their way. And some of you have been through a lot in your lifetime. And it breaks my heart to know some of the things that you've gone through. But you're stronger as a result. My next point this morning is a stubborn mother. Now, all of you are laughing because most of you ladies fit in that category. If not all of you. Men, it's okay to say amen. Ooh. All right, there we go. It's like some of y'all are scared to. A stubborn mother. The word stubborn means hardy, firm, enduring without complaint. That's one definition of it. We often think of someone who's, when they're stubborn, is that it's going to be their way and nobody else's. Well, not always. In this case, it is someone who is firm and will do things without complaining because they're going to do it, all right? Mothers have to be stubborn with their children. They have to be. And for those of you who are young enough and still living at home with your moms and dads, I hope you understand that your mother has to be stubborn with you. That's biblical, okay? It really is. If your mother let you do everything that you wanted to do, she wouldn't be a very good mother. Now, if you fit in that category this morning, I'm just telling you that's the truth. But I praise the Lord. Now, in my older years, that my mother was stubborn. She's still stubborn, but different things now. You know, when I beg and would plead to go out and, you know, whatever the event was and wanted to do. No, you're not going to do that. Come on. Yeah, there's no arguing with me, son. You're not doing it. Well, I'm very appreciative of it now. I could have gotten a lot of trouble. I mean, a lot of trouble. And there were some times where I was being not so nice. And my mother was stubborn, and she would not budge an inch. I think with some children, mothers have to be more stubborn than others. Was the case with me anyway. So it should have been that case with Michael, but for some reason he slipped the cracks. I don't know, but anyway. Now, Naomi here, she was being stubborn. Naomi insisted that her daughters-in-law would not return with her. I mean, she wouldn't budge. She told them they were still young enough to remarry and have children. She was, as a lady used to tell me, she was an old widow woman. When I was the director of the seminary choir, there was this older lady, and every time I talked to her, she'd always say, "I'm just an old widow woman." I'm like, "How many times you got to tell me that? I mean, I really know that, you know, you're a widow woman," but that's just something she held on to. But now I'm here, she was a widow woman. But she was saying, "Look, I'm old. No one's going to remarry me. I can't have any more children, but you're young enough. You can remarry and you can still have children. Please don't go with me." She insisted. She was being very stubborn. She knew about the hard times that would befall on all of them if they went with her. They could avoid the struggle and fear of death if they would remain and remarry a man. Naomi wouldn't budge. And this entire time, Orpah and Ruth are crying and like, "Well, let us go with you." And finally, Orpah gave in, but Ruth did not. Orpah realized Naomi was right. And really and truly, for the days that they lived in, that was the truth. If they'd have stayed with her, who knows what would have happened to them in their minds because of the laws and the customs and so on and so forth of women not being able to do anything. And so Orpah said, "Okay, I'm gonna leave you." She kissed him goodbye and left crying. But Ruth was still there. The Bible says that she clave into a mother-in-law. Ruth didn't care. Why didn't Ruth care? Because of her love and care that she had for and from Naomi. See, Naomi wasn't the only stubborn one that day. Ruth was too. She's like, "Look, I'm not leaving. I don't care. I'm not going." Well, my last point this morning is a sweet mother. A sweet mother. And we see that verses 15 through 18. On top of being a strong and stubborn mother, a good mother must be sweet, kind, and loving. God made women more capable than men for dealing with children in this capacity. This is the way God designed it, all right? But we must also understand what Solomon said in Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You know, as the daddies, we're the stern ones most of the time. I realize that's not the way in every household. But most of the time, the daddies are the stern ones, and then the mothers come along, and they give the soft answer. That's what happens. And Here, Naomi was not given, was saying, you know, look, you need to go. But Ruth said, I'm not leaving. I love you too much. I'm not leaving. I care too much for you. But I want you to look at this morning. Naomi had such great qualities that even her daughter-in-law wanted to be with her, learn from her, and love her like a daughter. Naomi didn't have any daughters. But Ruth, who was Naomi's closest thing to a daughter, thought of her mother-in-law as her own mother. And she wanted Naomi to treat her like a daughter. And that's how much that she loved her. But why did Ruth love her so much? It's because of the qualities that Naomi had. People complain about their mother-in-law all the time. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. I hear it all the time. You know, from the men. Well, my mother-in-law, she did this. And then I hear from the women. My mother-in-law, them. Look. If you are a mother-in-law today, your qualities should be so great that your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law would treat you like flesh and blood, like they're your children. They should treat you that way, and you need to treat them that way as well. Women and men, treat your mothers and your mother-in-law like they're yours. Because they are. They really are. And if you don't treat your mother right, shame on you. Shame on you. Let me tell you something. There are some people today, their mothers are not here. And they wish they could be. And there are some people that wasted time in their life not getting closer to their mother. And now their mother's gone. You have just one mother. And I don't care what she did in the past or what you did in the past. Get it right with God, because you only have so long on this earth and you only have one mother. Well, really and truly, you only have one mother-in-law too. If you marry today, if she's still around, treat her like you would your mother. Love her, care for her. I wish that both my mother and my mother-in-law were here today. I love them both as my mother, and they love me as their son. Ruth was willing to do whatever it took to make sure her mother, Naomi, was cared for, even if it meant death. She says, where you're going, I'm going to go. Now, a lot of people read this part of the scripture in weddings, and it sounds so romantic, but that out of context, that's not what it was. It wasn't a vow of marriage here. This was Naomi telling her mother, it doesn't matter where you're going, I'm going to go with you. It doesn't matter where you're going to stay, I'm staying with you. I'm going to take care of you. Because, I mean, I don't know how old Naomi was, but apparently she was past childbearing age. And Ruth at this point could still bear children. So obviously, Naomi was up in age, and they, at this point in time, they didn't live too long anymore. And so she knew that this was going to be a really hard journey on Naomi and a hard task to do. And she, now listen, I know some of you this morning, I could call you out by name, but I'm not going to because I love you and I won't embarrass you. But there's some of you mothers here this morning that you have a great stubborn determination to do something, but you're getting to the point where you're really not able to do it anymore. Now, you know who you are, okay? I know I'm meddling. I know it. But y'all think about this for a minute. Can you imagine? I am going to pick on some of you this morning, okay? Francis, Pat, and Callie, can y'all all imagine at this point in your life living and going and living on your own? And then saying, you're going to harvest all this stuff by yourself?
I mean, come on, really? I love y'all. But Naomi was being really stubborn. She was like, I'm going to go do it because she had a determined live. And Ruth was like, no. Let me take care of you. I love you like my own mother. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you're going to stay, I'm going to stay. Wherever you do, I'm going to be there with you. And wherever you're going to die, that's where I'm going to die too. And so Naomi was like, okay, fine. And they went on their way. Now, Naomi did not know it, even though she had some faith here, but God was going to take care of her through Ruth, through Ruth's faith. Ruth saw something in Naomi and the faith that she had in her God that she wanted that as well. She didn't believe in Jehovah God at first, but she was going to here shortly. And then as you read the beautiful story, how Ruth met a man, and he married her and took care of her and Naomi. Beautiful story. But it took faith. It took faith, y'all. This morning, cherish your mothers if they're still alive. Have a sweet fellowship with them. Talk to them as much as you can. Don't treat them like they're some outcast. Love and take care of them. If you're a mother today and a mother-in-law, have those qualities that are becoming that the Lord would have you to live. Love your own mothers-in-law like you do your own mother and treat them as such. It breaks my heart when I hear families squabbling. They can't get along. It breaks my heart. God's people have no business acting that way. We need to be able to live for the Lord. And our families should live for the Lord as well. When families start squabbling and fighting, that's what the devil wants you to do. It's not what God wants you to do at all. Because that doesn't reflect God. Now, I don't know each and every one of your family situations, but I do know this. It's God's desire that all of our mothers today would act like a godly mother. It's okay to be a strong mother. It's okay to be a stubborn mother when it's necessary and when the appropriate times are there, and it's good to be a sweet mother too. And if you're a woman today who's not yet married or doesn't have children yet, but you know you will one day, go ahead and start getting these qualities. Because that's going to be something that you need to have with your future mother-in-law and with your children. If you are not in a good relationship with your own mother today or mother-in-law, if it's possible with the Lord, and I know that it is, allow the Lord to work on your own heart so that you could have a sweeter relationship with your mother. And if your mother is already gone from this life, or your mother-in-law is already gone from this life, but you know that they're with Jesus, let that be peace in your heart today because of their decision to follow Jesus so many years ago. Let that bring peace to your heart today. And I pray and hope that we would have more godly mothers become the prominent status quo in our country instead of a rare commodity. It is so rare to find a godly mother these days. It is so rare. But we need them so desperately. We need them in our churches, and we need them in our country. I hope and pray today that if your heart is not right with the Lord and with your family, that you'd get it right today and enjoy that peace from the Lord that passeth all understanding. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reading of your word today and from the message from your word. Thank you so much for Jesus, most of all, who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us that showed us what true unconditional love is. And I pray that we would all remember that today and would live by it, that we'd be thankful for our mothers, whether they're still living or not, and that we would be about your business, living by your word. And I pray, Lord, if our lives are not right with you, and especially with our families, that, Lord, you would work your Holy Spirit in our lives to get it right. Bless this time of invitation and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?